Okay. On page Chaf Hey, on the right-hand side, which says, Ukamosha Mevia Tfesh Laima. We'll be able to cover a lot of ground now. Ukamosha Mevia Tfesh Laima is Chusia Gain Laina. Shafilu Yoim Echad also Lishkoich as Abchina Shel Kold Me'achicha Tzayakim Alai. We're learning the inyan of a person being mishtatef, feeling a connection and a shaychus to the difficulties, the pain, the suffering, the obstacles that, of another Jew. So today, the Maisa would happen in Eretz Yisrael. So certainly, this pasuk called Dmei Achicha Tzayakim Alai, that your brother's blood is calling out, is screaming out. Habchina Shel Avdecha Arvis Anar, the responsibility that Yehuda felt for Binyamin, the responsibility that one Jew feels for another. Sha'arv Loshen Arvis. The Tver Shleima says that a Jew is not allowed to go one day forgetting the tzaras or forgetting the difficulties of another Jew. V'gam Loshen Laila Erev. Arvis, which means this responsibility one for the other, right? It's also a lashon of Laila, an era of darkness, night. David Alper mentioned that last night. Because of Yaakov Tikan Tfilas Arvis. Yaakov Avinu was the one who established the Tfilah of Marv. And all the Svarim explained that the Tikkun of Arvis means that it's through Yaakov Avinu that Tfilah that he was Masakin in the night that the Jewish people are able to take Chizuk throughout the long night of Golus. Sha'etza b'ikvisa de Mashiach b'zman shel v'yetza Yitzchak l'suach b'sod l'ifnei zerv hi habchina shel arvus. That how are we supposed to remain a people during these long nights before Mashiach? One of the main etzes is avdecha arvus anar. It means that one Jew should be mespalos for another Jew, to be mishtatif mitzaros and shal rabim, God forbid, when they had tzaris, that one Jew should mechazik another Jew. He had b'chini shal arvus, she'ech mevakesh ma'ashem esbarach avor ha'shayni, that each one davens and seeks the welfare of another. U'ba'emis l'kol echad yesh ha'scholas koshas. Every Jew, everybody in life, there's a klal, kol ha'scholas koshas, all beginnings are difficult. And if you don't feel a difficulty in a certain thing, it means you haven't even started, right? For the person who doesn't feel any difficulty davening, it means he hasn't he's never davened in his life. For someone who doesn't feel the difficulty in struggling with the Yetzer Hara, it's because he's never fought against the Yetzer Hara. It's not a simon that things are easy. It's a klal, kol ha'scholas koshes. All beginnings are difficult. So everybody goes through these ha'scholas koshes. When you're in a certain school or you're in a certain yeshiva, and somebody new comes into the class, and who doesn't know anybody. We remember his children. Remember there was a boy when I was in fourth grade, the boy that came from Silver Springs. We were amazed. We never heard of this place. Silver Springs, and I remember how awkward he felt and how uncomfortable he felt. And of course it wasn't our concern to make him feel comfortable until we saw that he knew how to play ball. Right at recess we realized that he's someone that we should reckon with. But everybody knows how uncomfortable you feel when you come someplace. You know, it's a haschala, and all haschalas are kashas at work. You know, one of the most wonderful things is when you're new someplace and there's somebody that takes an interest to come over and to be nice and to go with you and to talk to you a little bit and to befriend you. So he says here. He says that thank God when you break through that beginning, that difficulty, and you're able to have, Baruch Hashem, a little bit of a schus to learn and to have a good day of learning, to understand some learning, and to be masmid in learning, to have a cheshik for learning. Hashem doesn't want you to forget that just like your haschala was so kasha, it was so difficult for you to begin, and it was such an uncomfortable and hard period for you. Now that everything is going smoothly, Hashem does not want you to forget. What? He doesn't want you to forget. That my brother, another Jew, also would like to learn. And he's going through a difficulty. He has a haschala kasha. Eich yochol Yehudi lumad l'spalu kishu yedeh shechaveru gam roitza lumad l'spalu. So the tzaddikim said, how are you even comfortable sitting and learning and davening? How could you feel so comfortable knowing that there are other Jews who they don't even know how to begin? This overwhelmed. Ben elu sheyodim v'enim yecholim. Ben elu sheyodim yodim klal shetzrichim lumad l'spalu. There are some Jews who know that they should be learning and they're having a hard time learning. That's where Moshe Feinstein said that it's in our generation that a yeshiva bach should try to give, someone who's learning should try to give meiser, right, a tenth of his time to help somebody else in learning. I remember that over 20 years ago I made this suggestion to a certain Rosh Yeshiva. The suggestion that every young married fellow in the kollel should adopt one of the bachurim in the yeshiva, in the high school, in the smedrash, to take an interest in him, maybe to learn with him once or twice a week, and maybe to bring him home for a meal, home cooked meal or something. And the response of the yeshiva was, he didn't really even look at me when he said. He just said, "It's bittul Torah. It's not our way." So now we're starting to realize the results of these. Short-sighted geniuses. Now everybody is talking about how we need to have mentors and help and one-on-one and so on. Because everybody needs that. The bachurim in yeshiva. Everybody needs that. So he says, and that those are the fellows that are in yeshiva that would like to learn. But what about others? He says, "Ben elu she'enim yodim klal shetzrichim lumad l'spal." How about the Jews that bechelal don't know that they're even supposed? They don't even think they're supposed to daven and learn. Never entered their mind. Kam neshamas yesh bechelal Yisrael, ruba the ruba shel klal Yisrael. Let's face it, the majority, he says, of the Jewish people, shenitzayim begolus kizaneru, that are in such a deep golus, shaguf any yodei klal mizeshu begolus. There isn't even the recognition that there is an exile, that they're missing something in life. Ve'enim yodim shenishama beicha b'tzayakus. They don't realize that the reason that they're so restless and so unhappy and generally unsettled in life is because their neshama is screaming out for something more. That the neshama is in galus and exile, and therefore the neshama is screaming out because of that matzav. The Rishon wants us to lift up this avayda, to feel the tzar. That means not only to feel the tzar of a Jew who you see is in pain. What if you don't see he's in pain? He's perfectly happy. He's leading a life. He's leading a life of complete abandonment to the yetzar. He's not a person who observes halacha at all. So even such a person who would never express any difficulty, he's not afflicted by anything. He feels great. Adarab, he thinks the front people are all suffering, this guy. But a sensitive Jew hears the what? That neshama of the Jew is screaming and calling out for something, is yearning for something. And this is part of the arvus, this is part of the responsibility. These last few moments of arvus, of marv, the end of time, in ikvus of the Mashiach, that a Jew should feel, kol d'mei achicha. He should be able to hear the screaming of his brother's blood. There's something we have to work on throughout life. The more one grows in this area, and to reach a level of more edelkeit, more sensitivity. You could feel this more and you could live this way more. But particularly during this time of the year, during the time of Menachem Av, this time of Tammuz Av, and Elul, this whole Tekufa, in particular, we have to focus on this inyan of Avodas Hashem.
Is he saying just to feel it, or is there something he's supposed to do?
And to do, to be mishtatif, and to do something.
He thinks he's happy, so they're not necessarily going to let you in.
No, you have to think of an Eitz, you have to think of a Chochma. Of how to get into that person's life, how to bring him true simcha. In other words, it certainly doesn't sound nice if one would put it that way to him, that if you're not really happy, I'm going to show you what true happiness is. It certainly wouldn't sound, it would sound terribly condescending to talk that way to anybody. And that's not, of course, what we do. Although there are people that do approach it that way, and give that feeling that I'm the person that has the truth, and you're a miserable pagan, and I'm going to redeem you from your, huh? Right. So we're going to redeem you. We're going to show you the light. That's not the approach, of course. The approach is when you believe with all of your heart that the pnimius, the atzmius, the essence of the Jew is Torah and mitzvahs. So you feel inside of yourself that the greatest gift you could share with another Jew is Yiddishkeit. But you have to use a lot of seichel of how to do that. Not to condescend the same way, not to feel that you're better than he is, but to share with him something that the same when you love somebody and you have a good mezainis, or something, or a good book or something, you want to share it with someone that you care for because you want that person to experience it as well. But it has to be done with seichel and with chachma, the same way with children. We want them to have the best things in the world. The best thing is Torah mitzvahs, but it has to be done with seichel. But it comes from that feeling of wanting to share that gift with a person, knowing that that person has perhaps even much greater potential than you have. Much greater potential. It could be he's an infinitely greater person than I am. Often if you work with Bala Tshuva, you see that a large... I would say, in my experience, a large majority of the Bala Tshuva, in terms of midas, are far superior to the typical chavi you'll meet from Inzer, from our island, in terms of midas taifas and so on. They could have much greater potential. But what's missing from their lives is realizing the connection between who they are in terms of personality and so on, and the pnimius of where it comes from, of Torah and mitzvahs. Of Yiddishkeit. So it has to be done, obviously, it has to be done in a very, very careful way. So by the sale of Yosef HaTzadik, you recall that Hashem, the brothers felt and realized that Hashem has detected, has found the sin that they committed by selling their brother. Matzah hu lashon mitzu. Matzah, to find, is a lashon of mitzu, which means she'achrei esum shtayim shana Hashem esbarach mitzu. It means to squeeze out. Squeeze out, like the word tamtzis, or the word mitz in modern Hebrew, right? So after 22 years, they realize it's not that Hashem found our sin. I mean, Hashem didn't know for all these years what they had done. No, on a deeper level, Motzah is lashon of mitzah, mitzui, which means she'achrei esum shtayim shana Hashem esbarach mitzah u'motzah ezeh tviya alachei Yosef. That after all these years, Hashem squeezed out and revealed what was it on a deeper level that had gone wrong over here. Even though, of course, ein lo neshum hasoga b'zeh, we don't understand. Says the Moreh and told us. Obviously, we're not on that level to understand. Right after the brothers sold Yosef HaTzadik, it says they sat down to eat, and every one of us is astounded. How could they? It's bad enough that they sold their brother. How could they sit down to have a suda? After doing such a thing, it shocks us. So the Chazal say that not only that, but they were giving out tzedakah, and they were giving shefa and bracha to the entire world. Chazal say that because of selling Yosef, ultimately what came out was the Yosef is able to bring sustenance to the entire world. So on some level, by what the brothers did, when they sat down to eat afterwards, it's a hint of what was the result of this mechir, which was that the world would be able now to eat and to survive because Yosef HaTzadik went into Mitzrayim. So therefore, it wasn't so obvious. It's a much deeper matter. It wasn't so obvious that there was something terrible that they had done. But b'chol zayis, ha'is ezeh tviya, Hashem squeezed out and revealed the fault. K'mei shekosuv she'asar harugei malchus. Chazal themselves have taught us that the 10 martyrs, the 10 harugei malchus, b'chol ha'golus, and the entire golus, ha'yeh b'glal mechiris Yosef, ultimately was because of mechiris Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik rotza l'sakin tviyazu. Yosef HaTzadik, who understood the depths of this kilkul, even though on one level it brought life to the world, but Yosef HaTzadik understood that the brothers were to blame, that there had to be a tikkun, something went wrong. We're going to see in a second, what was it, the etzem that went wrong, that caused galus and suffering, and it still is causing galus and suffering. B'sfas emes, schus again on the cost, shekemat etzliach l'sakin esakol, Yosef was almost matzliach to bring the tikkun. V'zahaya aydei she Yosef hister esatzno ben ha'achim, what did Yosef do? He disguised himself. Because he disguised himself, the whole Maisa took place with Binyamin. That what? That Yehuda, who is the heart and the king of Klal Yisrael, would have to be willing to come to a point where he was prepared to sacrifice his life for another Jew, for a brother. That's what Yosef is bringing. That's the tikkun that Yosef wanted to bring. That would be the tikkun till the end of time. That a Jew should stick out his neck for another Jew. Which is the entire people, that it came to the matzav that Yehuda, who's the king, Vahyaklolus Yisrael, right, who contained within him the entire Jewish people, is the king. Mosa Navshal Ben Yamin, he was Mosa Nefesh, he was prepared to give up everything for Ben Yamin, for the youngest brother. In our terms, it means even for that Jew who seems so distant, who seems like he doesn't know anything. But Yehuda was prepared to stick out his neck and to risk everything for that Jew. He said to Yaakov, I'm taking responsibility. He's my responsibility. According to Chazal, he wasn't only making an Erevis. He wasn't only prepared to give up this world. He was prepared to give up even the world to come. And later on also, when they came to Yosef at Tzadik, he was Moshe Nefesh. Yehuda was Moshe Nefesh again. Yehuda spoke up. And said, Avdecha, he says, how could I go to my father without my brother? Which the Baal Shem Tov said, on different levels it means, how could a Jew face Hashem without his brother? Without having worried about his brother, about the fellow that's next to him at work, a Yid that's far from Yiddishkeit. Or about a Jew that, even if it's not Yiddishkeit, the Jew that's a brother, a sister that's going through tzaros, and how could you face your father without bringing this Jew, without helping this Jew? How could you face him? The brothers understood now the essence of the problem was squeezed out, was revealed. That what's the essence of the problem that caused galus and is still causing galus? Our brother was screaming and we didn't hear. Our brother was calling out to us and we didn't hear. Kimacha tikkunes hakol. And Yosef HaTzadik wanted to bring a complete tikkun to this inyan. This is our avayda before Mashiach comes. K'meisha kosum et tzadikim susi again. Shetikun ha-golus v'tikun ha-sinis chinim, since the golus is primarily because of sinis chinim, hatred, that the main tikkun is ahavas chinim, is to show infinite, endless love for each and every Jew. Next page, Meim Avi Leimer, and Lo Avi Enuer Lachav Chatosi La Avi Kol Hayomim. That a Jew should feel this for his brother. That if I don't bring this Jew back, if I don't help this Jew, then I'm going to be guilty to Hashem, to my father, all the days of my life. It's going to be a sin. It's going to be over on my head. Ki Eich Elo Ela Avi Vahanari Nenu Iti. How can I face Hashem without that now, without the child? How can I continue and be so comfortable and happy in my life when I see somebody else that is miskasha b'parnasasa? You know, the Gemara tells a Merdeka Maisa about Avishai. Merdeka Maisa, without going into any arichas, so the Gemara says that that it happened once that he was Erev Shabbos, he was bathing in Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden he noticed the spot, he noticed some blood in the water. And then there's a gears that there was a pigeon flying over that was pulling out its wings and screaming, and he figured that it must be that David HaMelech is in trouble. Why? Because, however, the Jewish people are compared to a Yonah, and the king is the entire Jewish people. Bekitzer, the Gemara tells us that at that time David had been taken by the Plishtim, was all nice in the Gemara, and that they were conspiring to kill him. They put him into an olive press, and they were going to kill him. And the Gemara tells the whole Maisa that he had Krisis HaDerech, and he was able to go, ultimately, and to rescue David HaMelech. So, Krisis HaDerech, to be able to... Now, see, it says that he first went to look, and he was in Yerushalayim, he went to check the David HaMelech's palace, and he went looking in the Bes Medrash, where David HaMelech, where he usually was, and he wasn't there. And then he had a Krisis HaDerech, and he was able to fly miraculously. He was taken to the place where David HaMelech was, and he saved his life. So how is he zeichah for Krisis HaDerech? So I saw once from the one of the Bali Musa, who said that most people in this world, when they're in the middle of their hot bath, that they're in the middle of their life enjoying themselves, they wouldn't notice that there's some bird screaming. Or they wouldn't notice that there's a drop of blood. Not their own blood, that there's another Jew who's bleeding someplace. There's another Jew who's screaming someplace. That's what it means. At a deep level, doesn't it? Doesn't have to do just with something in the water. It means here was a Jew whose ears were open, that even from a distance, from a great distance, he felt the suffering of another Jew. So this Bar Musa said, so for such a Jew who hears other Jews from such a distance, Hashem removes the distance between himself and the other Jew, and he's able miraculously to save David HaMelech. And you see that Bechlal about Jews, about Yidden Jews who say heroic people, that everybody else could give a million excuses why they can't, and it's not shaykh, that they would like to help, but they can't help. And so he says here, he says, a person should feel like Yehuda. This is the beginning of the tikkun. That what? How could I sit by and watch that there's a friend of mine who's suffering so much with parnasa, or shemiskashem tzetzov, who's having difficulty with his children, and you might be able to have in nachas v'chal minei koshim sheyesh l'kolechad, all different types of difficulties that a person might have. Shekol Yehuda yibamatsav shal sosim v'galya. Says about Hashem that Hashem is hidden and revealed, right? Hashem's essence is hidden from us, but His ways in the world are revealed to us. So man is created in the image of Hashem, and every Jew has a side to him that's hidden and a side that's revealed. When a Jewish person feels this responsibility, that he sees that there's a person, that even though the person might look like he's fine, everything is okay, but that you sense that there's something wrong and you try to help, and therefore you say, how could I go up to my father without this child? How could I and bring such evil upon my father, meaning to Hashem, who cares for each Jew and loves each Jew? So what does that cause? Zem ma'ira milamala sabachina shavalayach leyosif lisapi. What happened when Yosef HaTzadik, who in this case represents the Shechina Hashem, when Yosef HaTzadik saw that one Jew, Yehuda, couldn't bear to see the suffering of another Jew or of his father or to see his brother being taken? So then at that point, Yosef HaTzadik couldn't hold back from crying. He couldn't hold back from showing his true identity. Sheyushbu rachamim v'iskarvus v'izgalus atzum, and then he showed great love and great affection and gave tremendous shefa and bracha to the brothers. So he's saying that with Hashem as well, that when the Baruch Shalom sees that one Jew sticks his neck out for another Jew, in the same way, v'leyachal Yosef lis'apeg, that Yosef couldn't hold back from then what? Giving bracha and giving shefa to the brothers, so too when Hashem sees that one Jew feels a sense of responsibility for another Jew, then kivyochel Hashem cannot be misapik from giving bracha and shefa to the Jewish people. Shadarenu hudor cholosh, we're living in a very weak generation.
When was this written?
This is Tavshin Nun Tes. Tavshin and Tess. Shadarein hu dar cholish. Avad Hashem is baruch roitz, es hadar yishashayach lefi matzav hador. Hashem only expects from us according to our capabilities in this door, at this time in our lives. Lefi matzav hador. Our matzav. He doesn't expect us to be like those earlier tzaddikim. At least a little bit to feel the difficulties that other Jews have. And to daven not only that they should be helped in their difficulties, but that they should have a Yeshua, that they should have a Yeshua in the future. And they shouldn't have to go through tzaros. Not only that, that to daven for other Jews that they shouldn't have, God forbid, sickness. Not only when you hear that someone, chas v'chalila, is terribly sick, then to pour out your heart, but to daven for the ones, for people that you know, for chaveirim, for yedidim, for family and so on, to daven for them and for all Jews, that they shouldn't chalila come to such a matzav. And he says, why don't you to stop and think that there are hospitals that are filled with Jews? Guf benefesh, Jews who are physically ill and emotionally ill. Kam Yehudim Yeshem Iskashim Im Yaldeyam. Just because, thank God, things are okay with your kids, look and see what's doing other people, the difficulties they have with their children. How hard it is for them with their children. Baruchni Sabagashmi is either physically with the children or spiritually. Kam Yehudim Yesh Kloshmi Chazalak Adeshim Shechayayam Enim Chai. How many Jews that you know that Chayayam Enim Chai? That the mamish, that they're not, their life is not alive. You know, there's a ma'aseh from the old Kapishnitsa, from the Lower East Side. Some ma'aseh from Kapishnitsa that's brought down a story in a few places that there was a certain gevir, and the Kapishnitsa called him up. Kapishnitsa was an unbelievable Baal Tzedakah, not just from his own. He gave away. He didn't go to sleep with any money in his house. He refused. He never went to sleep with any money. He wouldn't keep money. There was problems because even when they gave him for like this Indian of his own, like for the family, when they used to try to hide it. The rabbis never tried to hide the money from him. He didn't want to go to sleep with any money in the house that he didn't give away. So there was a maisa that there was. He called up a gevir and he said to the gevir, "I need to talk to you about something very, very important. Can I talk to you?" And the gevir was at work and he says, "Rabbi, I'll be over. Is it okay? Whatever, 2:00." And the rabbi said, "No, it needs to be sooner than that." So he says, "Rabbi, I'll be over." And so the rabbi says, "No, I'm coming." He says, "No, no, chas v'shalom." And the man ran over. He ran over to the rabbi, and he came into the rabbi. And it could be that the one like that he didn't come. He said, "Well, the rabbi showed up, you know, by him early." And the rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, what can I help you with? Tell me what it is." And the rabbi says that he started to describe the tzaros that a certain Jew is having. He didn't say his name. He just said that the kingdom, at this, does some terrible tzaros. And the Gavir was a generous man. And he said, "Of course, Rabbi, you know," he took out his checkbook and in those days, something like $500, which was a huge amount of money, he's prepared whatever the Rabbi, and if the Rabbi wants more, give more. So the Rabbi says, "But who should I make out the check? Should I make it out to Meisir or to?" So he said, "No." And the Rebbe told him the name. It was the man's brother. It's the man's brother. And the Rebbe told him, "You're writing out. You're giving. It looks good. People come to you from all over for this, to have your name on this place, in that hospital, and this thing, this yeshiva. Your own brother is so overwhelmed by his sorrows. Kald me'achicha mamish." You know, you don't even hear it. You don't pay attention to one who's nearest you, and we're often guilty of that. We're often guilty of sometimes we're able to hear from far away, but we're not able to hear the ones who are sitting around your own table. It's also a chachma. She says there are plenty of Jews who have troubles. Kamal avavus nishbaros yesh. How many broken hearts there are. Kam Yehudim esyasim emayetzahar. And spiritually, how many Jews are having terrible, terrible tzaros with the Yetzirah? And the Siyonis that they're going through, and they could use some chizik, they could use some hiskarvis. Kloshen Balatanya Voitzadikim Hayetza Shaboya Ketanur. Like the Tanya always says, the Yetza that's burning like a furnace. Kami Yisoimim is Gagim Leviim Leimo. How many orphans are there who miss their parents? Who could use a warm word, a little bit of affection, a little bit of help? Hamiyud Shani Yoidim Vahirayiv Sheinani Yoidim. There's only a few that we might know of in our lives. There's some that we know, but the majority we don't even know who they are. Be'et Yisrael B'chutz La'aretz. Haimamish Ein Lanu Shum Hasagim. Koloshen Chazal, Aksan Basar Aksan, Aniyas Basar Aniyas. Suffering after suffering, poverty within poverty, Duchke Basar Duchke, Amish Tsars, Kadrusa Basar Kadrusa, and darkness. Shezo HaMatzav Shalona B'Kvisit Mashiach, K'maisha Kos Meher Amak. Hashem wants us to live with this, to live in this way, to constantly have this in mind. Particularly during this time of Tammuz and Av. Bizman Hashem is Baruch Mevakesh Meitanu Al Domi Lechem Val Titnu Domi Lai. During this time when the Baruch Shalom is asking each and every one, don't be silent, and don't allow me to be silent. When you see a Jew who's suffering, don't be silent, and Hashem Shabbat says, and don't let me be silent about that Jew. Call out to me. He calls Zemunach B'tzipiyo Leviyas HaMashiach. All of this is part of longing for Mashiach. It doesn't only mean to wait, to believe that one day there's going to be a redemption. It means taking an active role in the redemption of this particular Jew from his difficulties with Parnassah, or helping him with his difficulties with children, or with Shalom Bayis, or whatever the inyan is, to help to redeem this person. That's part of it. And we're going to see more about this in a minute, that the reason that there's any suffering in the world is because of the Golus HaShechina. The reason that there's, even the reason that this particular person doesn't have money to pay back his chayvis, or is having problems with a wife, with children, it's all because of Golus HaShechina. Hashem Yisbarach wants us to call out about this itself. That Hashem, we don't feel this. We have a problem with this. Shenu Margishim is Hakalani Mireishi Kalani Mizrahi. That the Baruch Shalom, the Gemara says that when there's a Jew that's suffering, and it's not talking there about a fine Jew, it's talking about a Jew who's already condemned to die, and who was put to death by the Beis Din, right? Very unusual Russia. And even about such a Jew, the Baruch Shalom says Kalani Mireishi Kalani Mizrahi. That when a Jew is in pain, when even such a Jew, Hashem says, my head is hurting, my arm is hurting. Tefillin Shoreish, Tefillin Shoyad. So this, for this also we have to daven, to help, that Hashem should help us to feel what other Jews are going through. Al zeh she'ein lanu hagosha, al tzaros she Yisrael, that we don't sense, we don't feel the tzaros of other Jews. Even in our days, before Mashiach comes, when the heart is like stone, even when it's like by Yaakov Avinu that he put the stone by his head, right? He took one of the stones and he placed it by his head, meaning that nowadays shaharosh v'halev hu shtik even. That nowadays our whole head is a shtik even. Our whole heart is like one big stone. Hashem says that the stones can scream. Stones can call out. Even a stone, even a wall, even our hearts and minds that are so hard, the Jews were still able to give a scream, a shry for another yid. Ezu mashu shel arye shag. A mashu is something of the lion roaring. The b'chinas me'ashpeis yorim evyin, to beg Hashem to lift us up from this low place. Zanas ayidei ha'arvus. This comes a Jew who feels responsible for another Jew. Adi akarech shal Yaakov tikkun tfilas arvus. That Yaakov made this tikkun of marav. That we should be able to, in these last days of marav, of darkness, we should feel a sense of arvus, a sense of responsibility for another Jew. We could reach a madrig of tefillah even in the zman shel erev for another Jew. Even these last days of ikfas of the Mashiach, we still have the ability to try to extract something from that heart of stone, a scream. What does it mean? Your own personal mourning. We have to realize, especially this time of the year, that if the time would already arrive for the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, that's going to be rebuilt with fire, that you know, we wouldn't have any more widows. There wouldn't be any more orphans. If we would have the Gula, there wouldn't be any more widows or orphans. We wouldn't have any more situation where there's a child who doesn't have a father. And he can't even pour his heart out to a father because he doesn't have a father, he doesn't have a mother. Or a little child having to go to cheder without his mother, taking him. This is the morning. We're still mourning. Therefore, when you sang Nichem Aveilim, you say Omrim B'Sarich Shara Aveilei Tzion V'Yushalayim. May Hashem give you Nechama amongst all the Aveilim of Tzion Yushalayim. Who are those people who are Aveilim of Tzion Yushalayim? Right? We always say that. We shouldn't have to say it anymore. Hamokim Menachem Esra Meshav. It doesn't mean only other people are sitting Shiva. B'Sarich Shara Aveilei Tzion V'Yushalayim. It means, what about that Jew? Whose family life is falling apart? What about that woman who's living in a home where she's being abused? What about those children who God forbid lost their father? It doesn't mean that they're just sitting shiva, that they're aveilim right now. It means that whatever any Jew in the world, the fact that a Jew is still missing something, there are Jews who have tzaris. It's because the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt. It's because the Gula hasn't arrived. So Shara Veilei Tzion V'Yushalayim on some level means every Jew. Because there isn't a Jew who doesn't feel something in his life is broken or missing. The whole Jewish people are Shara Veilei Tzion V'Yushalayim. Klei Ma'ata Gam Chelik Me'Veilei Tzion V'Yushalayim. Each and every one of us is one of the Veilei Tzion V'Yushalayim. And Kivyochel Hashem Himself, the Shechina, that the Shechina Himself, Hashem Himself, is included in the Avelis of Tzion Yerushalayim. Ka'kol hu Avelis achas, because really it's one Avelis. Kim lahoya Avelis al Yerushalayim, lahoya gam evel yachid zeh. Because if not for the loss of Yerushalayim, this individual person would not have his own loss. Right, like the Maaseh with Rabban Gamliel, the time of the Churban, where there was a woman that was crying because of her child who died. Who was killed? The child died of hunger, and Rabbi Gamliel remembered the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he was crying over the Churban. What's the pshat? The pshat that in the crying of that woman having lost her child, he heard the crying of the entire Jewish people. He knew that because of the Churban, because of the galus of the Shechina, that we still have mothers who are losing their children. So even though that's true, but even though there was loss before, but that as a result of Golis, it was the tzaddikim understood that it's not only a question of course there were always wars, there were always milchamas. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then it was recognized, it was understood, that the tachlis of creation was to draw the Shechina into the world and to bring this tikkun. And all of the early generations were moving in that direction to bring that tikkun. And finally there was that opportunity to have the Beis HaMikdash, and to have that tikkun. And it was lost. And therefore, everything was set back into darkness, to tohu va'bohu. And they felt that pain. There's a maaser that I saw from a certain tzaddik who was the father of the Chabina Rav. The Koichem Yaakov, a Goyin Olam. So he had a daughter who had developed very bad rashes on her face, and the parents, the tzaddik and his rebbetzin, went to different doctors, and they tried this, they spoke, they tried that, and they couldn't figure out what it was and what was wrong, and they didn't know what to do to help her. So finally they went with her to Vienna, and there was a great Jewish doctor there. And the doctor asked, he looked at her, and he asked the tzaddik, could I speak to your daughter for a few moments by herself? And the tzaddik and the rebbe said, certainly. And the doctor asked her, tell me, is there something that's upsetting you? So she said, no, why do you ask that? So he said, don't be worried, tell me the truth. Do you sometimes cry? So she started to cry a little bit, and she said, yes, I cry. Why do you cry? Is something wrong? Are you afraid? Because the doctor said, isn't it true that you sometimes cry for a long time? He must have picked up that this excessive has affected her complexion, some excessive crying. She said, is there something that's causing you to cry so much? So she admitted. So she said, she didn't want to say what it was. She just said that she cries. So the doctor called in the Rav and said, Rebbe, tell me something. Do you know any reason why your child would be crying a lot? He was very shocked. She's a very happy child. What do you mean? So the girl, so the Rav turned to and said, sweetheart, is there something that you haven't told me, that you're upset about, that you're crying about? So she said that every night I hear your father, I hear you from the other room, late at night, crying and crying. I hear you crying. And I don't know why, and I'm very worried that something is wrong with you or with mommy. And it makes me cry, and I try to cover my ears with a pillow, and I'm crying. So the doctor looked at the Rav, and now the Rav was crying, and he asked him, what's going on? What's happening in your family? Is it true that you... So the Rebbe said, feeling a tikkun chatzos, you know, at midnight every night I cry over the suffering of the Jewish people and the exile of the Shechina, the Churban. So the child hears that crying. She doesn't know why. So I thought about this mice a long time ago when I first saw it, and I said, it means that really the only reason that a Jew is crying is because of the Churban. It's just that the tears eventually are mishtalshel to some other thing. So the daughter doesn't know why she's crying, but really she's crying because the father's crying. And the father's crying because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we're all crying. It means this one's crying, he doesn't have parnasa. This one's crying because he doesn't have shalom bayis. So he has problems with children. They can't have children. They can't get a shidduch. But the reason that we're all crying is because Kivyachal is crying. And from there, all the crying is mishtal shel until it gets to the whole Jewish people who are very litzein of Yerushalayim. That's our matzav now. And we feel it.
But he said that the children died during the time of the Beis
HaMikdash. Before also.
But there was also in the power of the Beis
HaMikdash. Right. There was a Navi too, there were Nevi'im. There were Nevi'im, and you would speak to the Navi, you'd ask, what's the Shairish, where does it come from? We don't have, not having a Beis HaMikdash doesn't mean we're just missing a nice building. It means all that the Beis HaMikdash gave us and could give us. We're mamish, we're so lost, we don't
understand what that means.
We have no saga of it. One has to learn the entire sugya. That's why I was talking to some chaver about preparing for Tisha B'av. But you have to prepare for every yontif. So there's a, I was just talking to some chaver from shul about this, and when I was in New York last time, I saw a sefer that somebody from Yerushalayim put out a sefer, around 200 pages, going through topic by topic, let's say the inyan of that we're missing Nevuah now, or when the Beis HaMikdash said we had Nevuah, the Beis HaMikdash says we had the Shiras HaLeviim, and he has a chapter on each of the things that we had in the Beis HaMikdash and how we're affected now by its absence. And I thought it Chazals and Rishon, I thought it's such a, and I was learning this before Tishvah, because the only way that you could be misabel if you know what you're missing. I mean, how could you sense the Avelis if you don't know what's missing? So, for somebody, you know, what's missing is that it was a beautiful building and it was, you know, like a korbanis. So most of us are thinking, and to tell you the truth, I'd rather hold a seder than you know, a lung, you know, or a kishka. I don't, you know, I'd rather hold a seder than, like, what do I need it for? You know, what do I need it for? Like, there was that fellow who came, he was a misnagid. People were telling me, you got to go to Kotsky, you have to see what is by the Kotsky, And this fellow was a real, you know, skeptical guy, misnagid. But they were pushing him so much, and even his wife wanted to go. So he said, all right, finally he's going to go to Kotsky. So what happens? He comes to Kotsky, walks in here. It's Friday night. You know, the Kotsky didn't say Torah at the table, mostly. Not in the later years, for sure not. He usually didn't even come out, you know, to the table. He stayed in his room. But even before that, before he locked himself up for the last 20 years, he very rarely said, you know, when he was learning with the gedolim of his students, but not at the Shabbos. So this guy comes to Kotsky, he heard so much, he comes to the table, and what does he see? So Friday night, the Kotsky is sitting there, he's enough, like an hour, and they sing some nagunim, and the Kotsky gives out shirayim, gives out food, and chassidim eating. The Rebbe eats. The Chassidim all watching the Rebbe eat. So the Yid's waiting for something, you know. Right there, the next day, Shalashidis, Mavamalka, same mates. So, he's pressing. So, it was by Mavamalka. So he said, all right, I'm not leaving tonight. I'll go anyway. Maybe sing some songs. But he already gave up on the whole thing to see anything by the Tzaddik. So he comes here to the table. And now the Kotzke says something. Kotzke says in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was an old man who lived all the way up north in the Galil, and he was already very old, and he thought to himself, it's not right. And I was never Eile Regel. I never went to Yerushalayim for Yontif. It was before Pesach, and the old man made up in his mind he's going to go. So the Kotzke described the journey, and as he was getting near Yerushalayim, He would ask other Jews, is this the right way? And they said, an old man like you don't know how to get to Yerushalayim? You're not ashamed? You know, finally he gets to Yerushalayim, he follows the Jews, and his heart is pounding, it's Erev Pesach. And he's all, you know, this is it, this is the famous place, the Beis HaMikdash. The Kotzke says, he's been hearing all about this place, the Beis HaMikdash. And he comes into the Azorah, and what does he see? A shlachtos, a slaughterhouse. Filth, blood, people standing around there, filthy, knives, and he looks at this and he says, "This is the Beis HaMikdash I've been hearing about." It's a shlachtos. And he walks back to the Galil. Never even leaves for Yontif. Doesn't even go in. So Kotzke said, "No, there are Jews who come and he named this person's town. There are Jews who come from this and this town, and they heard, ooh, we're going to see what's by Kotzk, and they come to the table." And they see the tzaddik eating, and they see the chassidim eating, and he thinks, what is it? It's a big shlachtos. That's all it is in Kotsk. It's a shlachtos. So you understand. The Rebbe's saying is that what do we to us? Bichlal. Unless a person understands, he doesn't feel the dismissal. The same way that a person, when it comes to the tzara of another Jew, if one doesn't know what it means to be hungry. In my house, maybe it's in your houses as well, you grew up, if I ever said I'm starving, because the friends used to say, if they didn't, between breakfast and lunch, or lunch and supper, I'm starving. That lashon starving. You know, I remember when I first used that lashon, I was 9 years old. I remember that what happened, that it was time for supper, and my mother got a phone call from his sister in Pittsburgh, and she was sitting there for a long time in the room talking to the sister, and my father was at the table, and was at my sister, and I said to my sister, "Now, where's Mommy? I'm starving." And my father looked, I remember that, he said, "What did you say?" I said, "I'm starving." "Like, you know, what's the matter?" My father said, "Go to your room." I said, "What? Why?" "Just go to your room." And then I was really hungry, you know. My mother came, they were eating and everything. You know, my father didn't let me eat supper that night. He didn't let me eat supper that night. He didn't even let me have a glass of water. And he came to my room. And I didn't bichlal get what was going on. And he said to me, "I know you didn't think of it this way, but don't you ever, ever say that you're starving. If you don't know, God forbid, what it means to starve, and people were starving, and my father says, and Mommy and I knew what it meant to starve. And it's a different Indian altogether. But my father told me, I wanted you to feel a little bit hungry. That's not called starving." And I was wondering if he was going to let me come in, you know, to get. He said, "No, gornish, not even a glass of water." So you do that nowadays, you can already forget it. The kid will call the police, right? They'll lock you up for being an abusive father. It was one of the most powerful limudim my father ever gave me, with all the things he taught me. And my father told me before I went to sleep, he says, "I'm sorry and I love you, and I want you to have everything in this world, but you have to know what it means to be deprived. It's too good, you have it too good." You can't even try that nowadays. For me, that didn't send me off the derech. Strengthened my connection to my father, and strengthened my connection to, I hope, to other people and to Jews who grew up in such a house, and to realize that just because you have it good, it's not so posh to throw around words like starving. Nowadays they use the word Holocaust anytime that there's never killing is never good, but some people are killed, it's already a Holocaust. It's a Holocaust. and Uptown is a ghetto. These lashonos that, you know what they do? They desensitize us. They don't make us more sensitive. All these Welt liberals, they're the most insensitive. I'm not saying in general there. With all their talk of compassion and love, what do they feel for other people? Unless you've been in that matzav, do you feel it? Where does Reverend Sharpton live? Where does he live? And the where does he get his suits? Not the same place as his brothers. And what about the Shakran? What about that maneuver, President Clinton, that he opened up an office there, right? Called Me'achicha, the voice of his brothers. I want to know how many hours does he spend there, and I want to know how he gets there, with a limousine, or does he go in the subway where it's 105 degrees with his brothers and sisters? It's all a ziv. It's all shkarim. Somebody who never went through it doesn't know what it is. And unless a person has felt it, it's impossible to know. And that's what he's talking about here. To sensitize ourselves. And to know that every single Jew is b'sarach shara ve'el etzin v'yushalayim. Let's just finish the paragraph. To feel this pain inside of ourselves, if there are Jews who are suffering. Our neshamas, he says, Roya Shatzar Kan Belam Hazel, Bukotan, Venom Megil, Bechlal, Gorla Tsar Kivyachal Shalashem is Bar. Our neshamas realize that our pain is not equal anywhere the tsar of Hashem is bar, which is, I'm not getting to the subject now, like that I spoke about this many times, different shiurim about, you know, personal things. Listen, if it's bothering you, Hashem, so much galus, then, you know, why don't you just put an end to it? That's not how Hashem created the world. Obviously, it's left up to our bechira on some level. Next page, Shalem Habonim Semech, the Tzaddikim felt the Tzar of Eim Habonim Semech, Shem Itztar Ma'oid, Ma'oid, Bishashi, Yehudi, Soivel, Ba'ilam Hazeb, Baruch, Niyasa, Bagashmiyas. How the Tzaddikim felt not only the pain of another Jew, but the pain of the Shechina herself, when there's a Jew who doesn't have, who's suffering. Even if we don't feel all of this, At least we must speak about it. And by speaking about other Jews, by talking about this inyan, Tivar Eish, it should eventually, it can set off a spark and a fire inside of us. It has the effect of igniting within us that fire, that flame, a feeling for the suffering of another Jew, for the veilus of Tzin in Yerushalayim. No, I hope that by the time we start next week, this avelus will be finished, that we'll see the nechama of Tzin in Yerushalayim.